We're now in a high-risk situation over so much of the world in terms of causing Earth's biodiversity to plummet down overall to 50% species by the end of the century.
The granddaddy of Earth biodiversity, E.O. Wilson, 1 in 8 plants are threatened. Half of land animals and most of large ocean species may disappear during our children's lives. We are coming to the greatest mass extinction ever known, including historic meteor strikes. The very fabric of living creation that populates our planet and our life experiences is going to gone.
The average extinction rate before humanity came along was one species, the paleontologists tell us, one species per million species per year. And the average extinction rate was that. I'm sorry, that was the average extinction rate, and the average birth rate was that as well. So there was a kind of a balance. Now we have upped the extinction rate to the most conservative figure is 100 times over base level. And almost certainly it is order of magnitude 1,000 times. And I would expect that the more we learn, and certainly the farther the process continues into the 21st century, it will soon be order of magnitude 10,000 times. So a common figure used by some pretty somber and careful experts on this subject is that the Earth, the number of species on Earth could be cut in half by the end of this century.
Have your pen or keyboard ready. In a minute, I'm going to give the net address for the web's largest collection of information on mass extinction. There you can find hundreds of stark warnings in major media about the Great Extinction. Near the end of the broadcast, you'll get an important web address to find really recent reports on the state of the world by top scientists in lectures to the Harvard Medical School.
You can remember what are the agents of extinction with the word hippo. You know, like animal, hippo, with the order of order of importance from the first letter on. The most important cause of species extinction is habitat destruction, H, habitat destruction. Second most important, invasive species. Then P for pollution, P for overpopulation. We have to sort of slip that in because, you know, it's the root cause. I mean, I grant that, a big part of the root cause. And then O, over-harvesting. And that does eliminate species. Humanity does destroy species by totally taking it out.
In 2004, Nature magazine reported from a scientific study that 1/4 of all animals and plants living on land could disappear forever. Millions of species may be extinct by 2050. One report reads, at a 2005 conference, renowned scientist Professor Peter Raven, director of the Missouri Botanical Garden, told delegates that without a change in current directions, as many as 2/3 of the world's species could be on the route to extinction by the end of this century. He said, nature will reach sustainability on its own terms unless humans can change course. Another says, scientists estimate that human activity has accelerated natural extinction rates by as many as 1,000 times the normal rate. Over the past 500 years, in fact, scientists have recorded about 250 species extinctions among mammals, birds, amphibians, reptiles, and conifers. Today, the world stands to lose 3 times that amount in perhaps the next 10 to 50 years. According to a new scientific report by the Alliance for Zero Extinction, AZE, however, there is new hope for some of these most threatened populations, and still time to protect them. Conservation International and 52 other like-minded organizations that comprise the AZE conducted a global analysis to identify those endangered and critically endangered species that exist in a single remaining population and are largely confined to a single location. The AZE has identified 595 sites as the last remaining refuge of 794 species. In its December 2005 report, the AZE sets forth a blueprint to immediately safeguard key habitats and possibly prevent an imminent wave of species extinctions. That report came from Jennifer Shatwell of Conservation International. Okay, here's the web address you need to track the loss of living creations. www.well.com/user/DavidU, that's DAVIDU, /extinction.html. I'll repeat that. www.well.com/user/DavidU/extinction.html. Let's turn to a fantastic resource to educate yourself and others about our developing crisis. In February 2006, the Harvard Medical School organized a series of lectures on the environment, gathering preeminent speakers. It was all recorded on video. At the time of this report, most of the lecture series is still available to the public as a streaming video onto your computer. You can find the web address for the Harvard Medical School lectures on the environment, including the Wilson Lecture on Conservation and Biodiversity, at www.ecoshock.org/greatextinction/index.html. Edward O. Wilson is renowned for his research into living systems in many places of the world. He has journeyed to deep jungles and the distant edges of the earth to record the wealth of species. Wilson's particular specialty is ants.
As a kid, this is the back vacant lot next to our house in Mobile, Alabama. I was out monitoring the insects and trying to find out all of the different kinds of ants that lived in that area. And I found, it was my first scientific discovery, I found the first fire ant colony, imported fire ant colony from Uruguay and southern Brazil, recorded in the United States. And that has since spread from Mobile in all directions, from the Carolinas to Texas, now to the West Indies, California, China.
The granddaddy of Earth biodiversity, E.O. Wilson, speaking at the Harvard Medical School on February 16, 2006, a speech called Biodiversity and Conservation.
The species, the diversity in these forests really is legendary. From this canopy of Peru alone, I took I analyzed and identified 42 species of ants living there in 23 genera. And that's approximately equal in size to the entire known ant fauna of the British Isles. One tree.
In addition to his research, Wilson is a longtime teacher at Harvard University and a much-published author of books with a contagious sense of wonder and love for nature. He has won 2 Pulitzer Prizes and many other awards. One of my listeners, hearing a sense of despair, knowing that human life is causing mass extinctions, sent me a book that brings her hope. It was called The Future of Life by one Edward O. Wilson, published in 2002. Essentially, he argues that humans, all of us, are born with an instinctual love for other life forms. We are not mental islands, but part of a vast network of living things that support, comfort, and inspire us. He calls that love for nature biophilia. If our instinctive love for nature, our biophilia, can take a leading role, Wilson believes we can get through this difficult century, coming out with a livable planet. Here is one example of his optimism, this time about population.
I think this 21st century is going to be known as a century of the environment. It's useful to employ the metaphor of the bottleneck. We're in a bottleneck. Humanity is in a bottleneck, which is due to the rapidly increasing population of the Earth and, of course, rising per capita consumption. And our goal should be to get through that bottleneck, come out the other end with a decent standard of living for all, environmental stability, and having brought through as much of the rest of life with us as possible. To me, that is a great goal of the 21st century. Because if you can achieve those 2 great goals, then you'll be achieving a great deal else of what humanity thinks of as its noblest goals. There is some hope that we actually will make it through that bottleneck, in spite of the understandable pessimism of so many people. One of them is that we are approaching an end to the population explosion. It turns out that when women are liberated, are empowered, and have control of their own lives, including their reproductive lives, and some hope for their own future, the fertility rate plummets. And it has correspondingly plummeted in the last 40 years from about six, this is globally, six per woman, six children per woman, to three per woman. The break point is 2.1 children per woman, and that is the 0.1, of course, is the insurance. That's you have to have that 0.1 for cover child mortality. And all the European, Western European countries, I mean Eastern as well, are now below breakpoint, and the lowest, I believe, the figure I've seen is 1.1 or 1.2. The lowest is Italy. And several of the European countries are now in negative population growth. And it's, the trend is now popping up in the Asian tigers, the economically rapidly advancing Asian countries, including, surprisingly, maybe not to people who've been there, but surprisingly, Thailand. So the best figures are, the ones I'm aware of, from the United Nations Population Services, is that we will peak on the present trends at about 9 billion per year, 9 billion total standing population by the end of the century. And then we'll start coming down. And that being kept in mind, there's not much, too much to hope that this planet can be turned into a paradise.
Wilson is one of the major proponents of a scheme to purchase the last great areas of biodiversity to preserve an estimated 70% of the land species of Earth. For around $28 billion, some protective institution could buy the biologically richest rainforests in the Amazon, the Congo, and Indonesia, and perhaps rare islands of species in places like Madagascar.
It's the Ark of Eden.
To put the cost in perspective, the profits of the American oil companies were $100 billion in 2005. Just one quarter of that money could save creations that evolved over a billion years. Once they're gone, they're gone.
When it's gone, it's gone. When it's dead, it's dead. Put it in the book called history. That's all she wrote, she said.
But like most of us, Wilson's optimism is darkened by doubts about the future of such rapacious reproducers, the humans. He trusts that life will survive with or without us. He finds life everywhere, always.
Everywhere there is liquid water, or the potential of liquid water, pole to pole, from the summit of Everest to the Challenger Deep at 36,000 feet below the ocean surface. At the very least, there are bacteria and usually microscopic fungi present. With microscopic fungi, that's a really interesting suite of organisms. They turn up everywhere. There are microscopic fungi in Lake Vostok, the deep subterranean lake that's been isolated for into the order of a million years by the Antarctic ice shelf. There are bacteria there, we now know, and microscopic fungi. There are microscopic fungi among the slimes. That's acronym for subterranean litho-autotrophic microbial ecosystem. Slimes, barely new to biology. Beneath the surface of the Earth and going down as much as 2 miles, a huge biomass of microorganisms. Bacteria, undoubtedly archaea, microscopic fungi, whose ultimate energy source is chemosynthesis of materials available in the subterranean deposits. They don't depend upon ultimate photosynthetically derived energy. And if the Earth's surface were burned off, then they probably would survive. And then after a few billion years, perhaps, reemerge as multicellular organisms, and plants and animals of a whole new creation, and finally something like us, and then the cycle would start all over again.
And don't trust in some magic cure by genetic science to make a new world. At their best and brightest, humans are not gods and cannot replace creation from the lab.
Now, we really have to start moving on this. I mean, humanity has to do better than it has been. It's begun to move in the right direction. It's got to be doing a lot better because the damage already done is irreparable. It cannot be repaired in any period of time that has meaning to the human mind. And the reason for this is that unless we can find a way to start creating artificial species and building artificial ecosystems, which in my mind would be an abomination, because then everything has to be filtered through the human mind and the human imagination, and the natural world is so much more interesting. So much more varied, so much more surprising, so much deeper in complexity than anything the human mind can at this time invent, this would be a terrible way of opting out, of taking action now to save what we have inherited.
Here again is the address for watching E.O. Wilson's important lecture and other lectures about the environment. http://cheg.med.harvard.edu/education/course_2006/topics/02_16/index.html. Or you can download the full audio version from Radio EcoShock at www.ecoshock.org/greatextinction/index.html. For more news and science, tune in to Radio EcoShock, the world's only full-time all-environment radio station, at www.ecoshock.org. Tom Paxton's song came from the Rachel Carson tribute album at www.musemusic.org. Our closing music is by Earth Mama, the Grassroots album, at earthmama.org. Maybe, just maybe, we don't have to say goodbye to the frogs, the colored birds, the rich medley of plant life, the loved animals of our childhood. It's up to you.
Let's not say goodbye. Who's to say it's over? Beginnings can go on and on and on. We can do better, by and by. Oh, maybe I can live without. Please, no goodbye. Let's not say goodbye.